This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning and happy Easter. Just a warning, someone said after the first service, "Wow, that was an Easter sermon with an edge." So, cool. All right. I love the angel's opening words. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And I think it gets to the heart of what the resurrection is really all about. Why do you seek life in this place for the dead? Why are you carrying spices for burial? You know, you've missed it. The angels announce something new has happened. Death has been defeated. And the claim is not that Jesus was resuscitated from death, but rather that a totally new mode of bodily life had emerged. C.S. Lewis wrote, "It's the strangest story of all." And it is. It's genuinely novel. It's history's greatest miracle. And so today we're going to talk about Jesus' resurrection and what it means for us, what it means for our lives. And to do that, I want to ask a question. What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? I mean, what if the women had found Jesus among the dead, found that he was still in the tomb? Then what? It's really, you know, I was trying to do this as a thought experiment, and it broke down very quickly this week as I was doing it, trying to imagine what our world would be like if the tomb had not been empty. You know, Jesus' resurrection vindicated his actions and his teaching. It essentially said to them, "Oh, this is all true." And so that inspired his followers to form a new community, the church, and they tried to imitate his life, put his teaching into practice. And Jesus' followers were and still are, of course, far from perfect. But because of the things that Jesus did, because they were so profound, his movement has literally changed the world. If we were somehow able to remove all of the influence of Jesus, the world would literally be unrecognizable to us. Like, we literally would not know where we were. Something much different and undoubtedly much worse would have emerged. Jesus' actions reverberate across the centuries, and his resurrection has had an unparalleled, and second place is not close, an unparalleled impact on human history. But if you follow Jesus today, It's probably not because of all the things he's done abstractly. It's because of the difference he's made in your life. The way he has showed you mercy, the way he has given you hope. But what if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And the promise of the gospel just simply died with him. What would our lives look like? You know, the Apostle Paul actually spent some time thinking about this question. And here's his answer. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. In other words, what we're doing here is a complete waste of time. It may make us all feel good a little bit, but it's a waste of time. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. No resurrection, our faith is useless. We're still in our sins. And here's just a couple ways that I can think of that the Christian faith is useless if Jesus has not been raised. First, I would suggest that we would be chained to our past. Have you ever felt defined by past mistakes? I suspect all of us have experienced the pain of being identified by things we wish we had not done. And without the resurrection, our mistakes rename us, and we really have no authority to resist their classification. We're chained to the past. But if Jesus did rise, we're promised freedom. We're promised a new identity. The resurrection proves that Jesus' offering on the cross for the sins of the world was sufficient. And that means sin has been defeated. And through Christ, his righteous life has been essentially credited to us. We're given a new identity. And between the past and the present, there is a cross that forever separates who we were from who God says we now are. We were chained, but now we can look at those things that bound us and say, Jesus is risen. It's a new day. The old is gone. The new has come. If Jesus didn't rise, I think we would be chained to the past and we'd also be anxious about the future. But since he has been raised, the Apostle Peter says, we've been born again to a living hope, a living hope. The resurrection is God's, you know, most powerful sign of his faithfulness. The cross that we talked about deeply on Friday, the cross reveals the darkness of the human heart. In Jesus, God actually came in our midst, but we didn't receive him. Instead, we crucified him. And how did God respond? Did he exact revenge? No. God's response was resurrection, to initiate our healing. And this gives us hope, because if God can redeem something so horrific as the cross, what can't he do? The resurrection says, see what God turned around. He can redeem anything. So we have a living hope because the God who raised Jesus from the dead now gives us life by, Paul writes, pouring the Holy Spirit into our hearts. You know, if we look to the future, we can very clearly see there's a lot of uncertainty. There is a lot against us. There is a lot to keep us up at night. I mean, that's just being honest. Our world has felt like it's been in chaos for so long now. And aside from that, we all have our own personal stuff going on, you know, financial insecurity, broken relationships. You know, we worry about our kids. The resurrection is not a magic pill for anxiety. I wish it were, but it's not. However, if Jesus rose from the dead, we have a way to confront those fears. If he rose from the dead, we have a way to confront those fears and to empty them of their power. Because even the crucifixion has been redeemed. We call it Good Friday, right? If Jesus rose from the dead, then that means God is the winner. He's victorious over all. C.S. Lewis wrote this. It's brilliant. He says, some people say of temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it. So in other words, don't give me this heaven stuff like it all is going to be good in the end. He says, they do not know that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into a glory. Let me say that again. Some people say of temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into a glory. So if Christ is risen, our agony, and we will have some for sure. Some more than others. But it will all be turned into glory. So we don't have to be anxious about the future, even knowing that the future is going to have some challenges and difficulties, some agonies. We don't have to be anxious because we know, ultimately, it will all be turned into glory. So as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about who's going to be here today? Because this, I mean, let's face it, this is different than the normal Sunday. And I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I think there's one thing that we are all after, no matter who we are today. We all want life. We're all seeking purpose and fulfillment and happiness in life. It's just innate to who we are as human beings. We're after what Jesus describes as abundant life, life in all of its fullness. It's what we're all after. And some of you today, to be sure, have found it. You found it in the risen Jesus. He has given you the life you've always wanted. You've been set free from your past, and you know your future is secure. And I just want to say to you, amen. That's wonderful. Keep it going. I think it's likely that there's also some people here this morning who are on the opposite end of the spectrum that have decided, you know, you've decided that a risen Jesus is just nonsense. And that's okay. You're looking for life in other places. Material wealth, achievement, prestige, beauty, whatever. And I just want to humbly say that I believe that's looking for the living among the dead. Those things don't bring life. And I could share with you story after story of rich, powerful people who are miserable. I could tell you stories about people in this church that spent their whole life going after all those things, thinking it was going to make them happy, only to discover, no, it doesn't. I also know that those things fail. They're not permanent. And that, I think, is a fact. But even so, some of you may be thinking, yeah, Patrick, I hear you. But truth be told, like, these things are working for me. Like, life is good. Like, you know, It is working. Yes. Yes. I think maybe it is. Actually, they may work for you the rest of your life. You may just live a charmed life with no real major hiccups and everything goes wonderfully. You have an abundance, you have everything you've ever wanted, and that may happen for you. But here's what I would respectfully ask. What if you're wrong about Jesus? What if he did rise from the grave? Because if he did, then everything he said and did is true. All of his warnings about building your life on material things, all of his teaching about the way that true life is actually found in giving your life away, in serving others, all of his words that someday every single one of us will stand before God and give an account. So that just simply means there are vast implications to being both right and wrong about Jesus. And so my urging would simply to be, you know, not to just build your life unwittingly on what the culture encourages you to do. Don't just kind of go along without even thinking it through. You know, get a good education, get a good job, and those things are wonderful. But it's the end game that I really have a problem with, because the end game, it seems to me, is just, you know, get a good education, get a good job so you can consume until you die. I mean, honestly, that seems to me to be what we have come to believe is the good life. And I think it's at least worth investing some time exploring those big questions. You know, on page 2 in the bulletin, you can read about Alpha, and that's exactly what Alpha is for. It's a safe place to have honest conversations about the big things of life, about what you believe and what you don't believe. And I can promise you this, you can decide to not believe any of the stuff about Jesus, and you are going to be loved, you are going to be well treated, you will be accepted. I think there's a final group that I would have a word for. And I think I would describe this group this way. You're committed to your faith, maybe for a long time. You know the right answers. You're in church. But if you're honest, your relationship with Jesus looks like people visiting a graveyard. I guess that's the edge. Intellectually, you accept the resurrection, but practically speaking, your faith is dead to you. You know a lot about Jesus, but you really don't experience him in your everyday life. You're in, sort of, but practically, your faith doesn't mean much. And here's my question, and I admit, this is a tough question. Do you prefer a dead, good teacher Jesus over a risen, living Lord? Are you looking for Jesus among the dead because subconsciously, that's really where you want him to stay? Because let's face it, a dead Jesus is safer than a risen one. He's safer that way, because a living, risen Lord might get into your business. And I admit, that's scary. It is scary, because he is going to challenge all of your assumptions. He is going to call you into uncomfortable places. He is going to say things to you that are hard, that you don't understand. Those things are absolutely true. I am not promising you anything easy. But I can say what I have found is that he is trustworthy. Everything in my life up to this point that I've actually been willing to entrust to him, he's been faithful. And I can just say that to you as a personal testimony. And so my encouragement to you is this. Just take a small step, one small step, to actually trust and follow the risen Lord in your everyday life. Maybe it has something to do with, you know, serving others. Maybe it has something to do with how you handle your money. You know, I don't know. But take one small step to actually trust him and follow him in your everyday life, and I believe that he will prove himself faithful. If you want to meet Jesus, you have to look for him in the right place. Jesus isn't going to be found by looking back into the tombs of religious history and just kind of studying, you know, their teaching, people like Socrates and Plato and Confucius. You know, a Jesus that we equate on that level, that is nothing more than a religious ideal, is not going to change your life. But if you want to find Jesus, you need to look for him among the living. Look for him today. If you look for Jesus, the risen Lord, who wants to be involved in your life, if you look for that Jesus, the living one, then I think you will find him. Build your life around that Jesus, the risen and living Jesus, and he will give you a new identity and a living hope. He will give you the fullness of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the redemption that we experience through Jesus and his death and resurrection. Through him, we have a living hope, and all our agony will be turned into glory. We give you thanks for this great blessing and all the other good things that come from your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.